Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our Gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at the 21st verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, back around the year 500 AD, right in the middle of what historians have at times called the Dark Ages, there was a man by the name of Saint Benedict who wrote up a charter for monasteries, and later on used in convents as well too. A charter, kind of like a church constitution like we have here at St. Peter, that tells what the various responsibilities are and who does what and how things should be handled and what's the appropriate way of doing things. Anyway, he wrote up this charter for monasteries. It's called the Rule of St. Benedict. And this is what he had to say about people who wanted to join the monastery or convent. He said this: such a person should not find their entrance to be made easy. For the apostle says, test the spirits to see if they are from God. But if a person continues to knock for 4 or 5 days and shows a patient attitude toward the difficulty they're encountering about being admitted into the monastery, then let them be permitted to enter for a few days, and let a senior monk, such as has the skill of winning souls, be appointed to watch carefully over that person to see whether they truly seek God. Do they truly seek God? Saint Benedict knew from experience that people might go into a monastery or join the convent, whatever might be appropriate. He knew that they might do that for various reasons, any number of reasons, not all of them from the Lord. A person might go into a monastery to escape from something in their past. A person might do that because they thought perhaps that within those walls they could lead an easy life. A person might do it because in troubled times like those times were, at least they get a roof over their head and 3 squares a day. And Saint Benedict wrote, test the spirits. Test the spirits. Do they truly seek the Lord? He knew it from experience, just like our Lord Jesus knew it in our gospel lesson for today. He knew that for a lot of people, it would be like the day that my friend Jeff and I in college decided to go out target shooting in the hills east of Gresham. And on the way over there, we stopped at an ammunition or a gun store, and we bought some ammo for his 30-30. And the fellow at the gun store took a look at us. A couple of young guys, didn't look like we knew much, because we didn't. And he said, I got a couple of boxes I can sell you cheap. He pulled them out and he said, now they're old, and if you look at them, they got a little corrosion on them, but I think that should be fine. There should be no problem with that. Well, we said, okay, nodded our heads. Took it out to the quarry, and after a few rounds, they began to misfire. About half of them misfired. Now, talk about a misfire. You got a misfire in today's gospel lesson. Because if you take today's gospel lesson, it looks good on the surface, but if you boil it all down and you get to the core of what's going on, this is what happens. Peter, now follow this, is going to save our Lord Jesus. Peter is going to save our Lord Jesus' life. Is something wrong with this picture? Now there's a misfire. He's going to save our Lord Jesus' life. It seems to me that last Sunday's gospel lesson might have gone to his head, if you remember the words. Jesus said to his disciples, and I quote here, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, he said, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And so the symbol of St. Peter here, the upside down cross, because he was crucified upside down, and the keys. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And Peter came to the conclusion, apparently, that he was now in charge. There are people who say that from these words, we can draw the conclusion that Jesus was making Peter the first pope. Now, if that's true, and he was the first pope, he certainly wasn't a very good one. He was a lousy pope because he got God's word completely backwards. I mean, think about that for a moment. Is that why Jesus came? He came down to this world so you would have an opportunity to save his life? Or did he come to save yours? Now, you may think one thing in your head, another thing in your heart, and other people may say something, but God's word is clear on the topic. This is what it says. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The blind man heard about Jesus walking through the city of Jericho, and he said, "Jesus, what? Savior, have mercy on me." You know the verse, John 3. "God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And what does today's gospel lesson say to us? From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples. He says, "I don't care what you think. I don't care what your heart tells you. I don't care what your mouth talks about. I don't care what other people are saying. From that time, I'm going to show you from God's word, because that's the standard. I'm going to show you that I must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day, be raised." Now, the Lord could have taken an alternative route. He could have said, "I think I'll just get away from all of this. It's too much stress." He could have run away from it all, like his disciples would do later. The Lord Jesus could have commanded his disciples to fight, like they would do later when somebody drew a sword and had to chop somebody's ear off. Instead, the Lord Jesus said, "This is something that must happen. It is necessary. It's why I came. To go to Jerusalem, to suffer many things, to be killed, and on the third day be raised. That's my Father's will. And that is your need, that your life be saved." And Peter was going to save the Lord from all of that. Peter, in essence, said, "Lord, I'm going to spare you the expense. Lord, today I got the tab. Your money's no good here. I'll take care of things. I'm going to save your life. I will spare you the expense." And what's the old saying? The road to hell is what? Paved with good intentions. Because it was a road to hell. It had happened before. Jesus had been tempted before to go down that path. When he went out in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, three times, Satan tried to get him off the path that would lead to the cross. You remember, throw yourself down. Tell these stones to become bread. What's the other one? I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you bow down and worship me. Three times Satan comes to Jesus, and he tries to get him off the path to the cross. He comes to him as an enemy. He comes to him as the angel of darkness. It didn't work. Three times he loses, so what does he do? He says, I think we'll come not as an angel of darkness, but an angel of light. I'll come to you as your friend. I will come to you with good intentions. I will come to you through the voice of Peter. His tone is kindly. His manner is earnest. His admonitions are wise. And yet, if you turn to your scripture, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, not led by some other spirit. And the implication, of course, is if you're not being led by the Spirit of God, what are you being led by? You're being led by something else, and the Lord puts it pretty strongly. He says what? He turns to Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me. You are not thinking the things of God. You are thinking the things of people. Now, people hear those words and they think, boy, that's harsh. Peter meant well. So what if he meant well? The harsh words were needed. The other night, I went by the side of our house and I had a flashlight. And I was looking at the base of the house. Maybe you've done this before. Where the cement meets the wood. Because there's somebody that always seems to live there. Who lives there? You know from your house, I had about 7 or 8 of them. Yeah, not just spiders. Black widows, thank you. Black widows. There were a couple of black widows, nice big black ones, sitting there in their webs. And I saw them in the flashlight. What did I do? Did I say to them, well, I know you're just following your nature. You dear black widow, you're so misunderstood. People don't understand your true heart. No, I ran in the garage and I got the bug spray. And that was the end of that. That's what you do. Peter may have had good intentions, but the Lord had to spray bug spray all over it because it was not from the Lord. It was from Satan. And not only that, Peter was, like the scripture says, revealing the thoughts and intentions of his heart. He was concerned about our Lord Jesus. That's good. But we find in the Bible on more than one occasion, Peter is concerned about something more even than the Lord. He's concerned about his own life. How will it turn out for me? How is this going to turn out? How will this work out? If I go with the Lord Jesus, what am I going to lose? And that's often how we think. What we're going to lose going with Jesus instead of what we're going to gain. Because what we gain is what? We gain pardon. We gain cleansing. We gain a place prepared for us together with the Lord. And so Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. The word can also mean disown himself. Let him lift up his cross and let that person follow after me. If you wish to save your life, you'll destroy it. But whoever loses their life on my behalf will find it. Because what is the profit for a person if they gain the whole universe? Actually, the word's cosmos. They gain the whole universe, but they lose their soul. Or what will a person give as the purchasing price for their soul? The Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will pay back to each one according to what they have done. And so the Lord says, look, the last day is coming. The final judgment is coming. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be with the Lord? Or do you want to be someplace else? Now you say, if I go with the Lord, it's hard and it's dangerous and it's scary. And he says quite simply, you want to know what hard is or dangerous? Or scary, think about standing before my judgment seat and you don't have me and my shed blood. in the sum total of your life is a misfire. The way Jesus went was the way of the cross, and to some degree or another, that's the way a Christian person is going to go. But remember how it ends up. It ends up, like we say in the Creed, with the resurrection of the dead, with the life of the world to come, or as the lesson says, seeing the Son of Man coming in his glory and his kingdom. And so Jesus said, I have to show you from the scripture that it's necessary for me to depart, to go to Jerusalem, to suffer many things, to be killed, but also on the third day to be raised. And so also, in one way or another, with you, for a child of God. And so what do you say? You say, Lord, let me truly seek you. Let me be the person that comes to you in faith and trust. Don't let me be a misfire. Don't let me fall by the wayside. You do what's necessary. Only bring me to be with you. Bring me inside your kingdom. And then all will be well. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.